So let's read together then John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. In these verses, we have a wonderful description of heaven, the eternal home of the believer. And we also have in these three verses the promise of the Lord's return. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. First of all, then, some background notes. When the Lord says to the disciples there in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled, it's because the disciples at this point are bewildered and discouraged. If you go back into chapter 12, you see that the Lord told the disciples that he was going to go and be crucified. Chapter 12, verse 32 and verse 33. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And then in chapter 13, he reveals to them that one of them is going to be a traitor. Chapter 13 and verse 21. Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And then moving on, we find that he tells them he's going to leave them. Chapter 13, verse 33. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, as I said to the Jews. Where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. And then he tells Peter at the end of the chapter that Peter will deny him three times. Chapter 13, verse 38. Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. So I think we can appreciate why the disciples were discouraged and bewildered at this point. I think we'd be the same way. Well, it's in this context then that the Lord says to them, here in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. In verses 2 and 3, the Lord tells the disciples that he is not going to leave them permanently. He's going to prepare a place for them. And he will come again for them and take them to be with himself. This, by the way, is not the death of the believer that's in view here. No, it's the return of the Lord. So here in these three verses of John 14, we not only have a description of heaven, we have the promise of the Lord's return. Now let's ask ourselves a theological question. Is this return that the Lord is referring to here the rapture of the church? Or is it the return of the Lord to the earth to set up his kingdom? Well, we believe it's the rapture of the church that's in view here. Now, what's the difference between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord to set up his kingdom? Let's talk about the return of the Lord to this earth to set up his kingdom first. In the Olivet Discourse, in which our Lord spoke about the future, the Lord spoke of his return in power and glory and judgment to this earth. This is his return to the earth to set up his kingdom. The Olivet Discourse, where our Lord spoke about the future, is found in Matthew 24 and 25, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. Let me just read two verses from Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This return of the Lord is in reference to his return to this earth to set up his kingdom. Furthermore, all of the Old Testament passages dealing with the coming of the Messiah to set up his kingdom here on earth, we believe refer to this same return, the one that our Lord is referring to in the Olivet Discourse. But when we come to the epistles, which are specifically written to the church, we find a return of the Lord mentioned which appears to be different. This return of the Lord that's mentioned in the epistles is not to this earth in power and glory and judgment. It is not a return in which there are cosmic signs associated with it. It is not a return in which all the earth will see him. It is not the return which is after this special time of tribulation on the earth that we read of in the Olivet Discourse. No, this coming mentioned in the epistles appears to be before the end time tribulation of the Olivet Discourse. This coming that's mentioned in the epistles is particularly for the church. This coming that's mentioned in the epistles is not to the earth, but to the air, where Christians will be caught up to meet the Lord. That's why this coming is referred to as the rapture. Now, there are two specific passages in the epistles that deal with this return. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Now, let me read just two verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in reference to what we refer to as the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So there is a difference then between the return of the Lord to this earth to set up his kingdom and the return of the Lord for his church. We call this return the rapture of the church. Now, we've seen these two great passages in the epistles, 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that deal with the rapture of the church. All your other passages referring to the return of the Lord in the Gospels and in the Old Testament look on to that return of the Lord to this earth to set up his kingdom. With the exception of one, we believe there's one passage in the Gospels that does refer to the rapture, and it's this passage right here. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. Notice verse 3 once again. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We believe that refers to the rapture of the church. Now, what about doctrinal points from this passage? Let's look at one doctrinal point now about heaven. Heaven is a place where it doesn't get any better than this. Heaven is a place where it doesn't get any better than this. I'm sure you've heard that expression used before, right? We use it all the time. You know, like sitting on a beach in the Caribbean during the winter season, warm sunshine, sipping iced tea. It doesn't get any better than this. Well, it does get better than this. Heaven is a place where it doesn't get any better than this. Let's briefly look at three reasons from verses 2 and 3, why heaven is a place where it doesn't get any better than this. First of all, heaven is a place called home. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Heaven is a place called home. That's really the idea there in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. The Father's house is heaven. Now, you might think that this verse has the idea that when we get to heaven, everybody's going to have their own private big mansion. No, that's not the idea. The idea here is that there are many rooms in the Father's house. There's room for everyone. And we'll all be together as one big happy family, God's family. Heaven is home. Maybe the best way we could capture the idea here is to think of the expression home for the holidays. Now, if that expression gives you a warm feeling because you're thinking of the whole family together, sitting together around the fireplace, sharing family secrets, you're getting close to the concept expressed here. Heaven is home. And the great thing is, it doesn't end after the holidays. It's eternal. A second reason from this passage why heaven is a place where it doesn't get any better than this is that heaven is a place prepared for us. Verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven is a place especially prepared for us. The Lord knows all about us. He created us. Certainly He knows what's going to be the best for us. Now, I know some of you here might be hoping there's golf in heaven or skiing in heaven or great entertainment in heaven or maybe even wonderful tasting fat-free food that you don't have to worry about. Well, all joking aside, heaven will be the greatest. And if you're a believer here this morning, you'll be there. It's our eternal home, and it's specifically prepared for us. A third reason that we see from these verses why heaven is a place where it doesn't get any better than this is that heaven is a place where the Lord Jesus is and wants us to be. Notice verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord wants us to be with Him forever. It's going to be great. Did you ever make a special trip somewhere expecting to see someone special, and when you get there, they're not there? Not a very pleasant experience. Well, you don't have to worry about that in heaven. In fact, we see here the Lord Jesus is coming to get us, to receive us unto Himself. He wants us to be with Him, and we'll be with Him forever. As 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that verse we read, says, "Thus shall we always be with the Lord." Heaven is a place where it doesn't get any better than this. Now, what about some practical application from these three verses? Think about heaven when you're discouraged. Think about heaven when you're discouraged. Look again at verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." And then he goes on to speak about heaven. In other words, what the Lord is saying to the disciples here is, you disciples are discouraged, but you believe in God, even though you can't see Him. Now believe in me the same way, even though I'm going away and you won't see me physically here on this earth. Cheer up. Don't let your heart be troubled. You can be sure that even though you can't see me, I'm thinking of you and I'm preparing a special place for you and I'm coming back for you to take you to be with me forever. The Lord told them about heaven to cheer them up. Well, in the same way, when we as disciples are discouraged, let's think about heaven. When you're discouraged with your jobs or circumstances or even your ministry, remember, it's not a permanent situation. It's temporary. Let's think about heaven when we're discouraged. You know, I think we're all vulnerable to discouragement. I get very discouraged when things that are new get damaged for the first time. That really discourages me, like that Mazda that I have, a little more than a year ago, brand new. Well, within a month, on the trunk, there were these two dings, you know, just little ones, nothing really big. But, oh, why did that happen? It's so discouraging. Well, how did I cheer up? Think about heaven. 100 years from now, what difference will it make, those two little dings in the trunk? Big deal. Think about heaven. Very practical. Whatever area you have where you're vulnerable to discouragement, think about heaven. Think about heaven when you're discouraged.